Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Dave Stoop. And your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. It's a great day for New Life.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love listening to you guys.
I'm kind of in a valley as far as my stage. She has a tumor on her lung, and she's in kidney failure. And my question is, how do I tell her that she's dying?
In the court systems, teenagers usually have a lot of ability to say where they want to spend their time.
Change is not what you say. Change is what you do.
Do you ever disagree with him to his face?
Very rare.
Here's what I think cremation is. It is a dust acceleration program.
You're going to go forward. You're going to do the next right thing. You're going to sin no more. And he's going to have to sit with that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Dave Stoop. Hello, guys.
Hello there.
Hi, Steve.
Let's kick this thing off right now. Let's go right to the phones, something we don't usually do. But let's go and talk with Phyllis from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station she listens to. One of our favorite people there, Brian, he's listening right now. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Phyllis. How are you?
Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help today?
I'll give you a little background information, and
okay,
then I'll ask my question.
All right.
For a few years, my husband has been requesting an unusual type of relationship. He's been asking to switch to a female domination type relationship, where I would be in charge of everything. And I'm not comfortable with that. I don't feel that it's biblical. We did see a counselor for a while. It helped a little, but she had suggested that he see somebody who specializes more in that type of issue. And the person she referred us to wasn't taking anybody at the time.
How do you get a specialist a therapist who specializes in female domination issues?
Excuse me?
Well, I was saying that sounds like a rare request on the part of the therapist that you would find a specialist who specializes in female domination issues.
Well, I don't know if she didn't know how to respond to it, or if she thought he needed a male therapist, maybe she thought he needed to see somebody different than me.
Hey, what if we just assumed that he had a massive regression back into a need to be mothered?
Okay.
Do you think that could be it?
So, Phyllis, what's your question here about that?
Yeah, I asked the question.
Oh, basically, how do I respond to that as a wife? Because, it's one thing in the bedroom as a fantasy issue. It's another thing when this becomes an entire lifestyle for a family. And I feel, responsible to be the leader. And he should be called to that, but does not make any attempt to do so.
Well, you know, it really gives us a great opportunity from a different perspective than normal to talk about what is God expecting as far as leadership in the home, and is anybody supposed to be the domineering person, and all of those things.
He's exercising leadership.
I agree.
It's really strange.
And deciding not to do anything and putting the responsibility on him.
So he's creating the kind of marriage that you have, and it's a problem for you, and it would be a problem for most women.
And it's very similar to someone exercising leadership saying, hey, as a family, we're going to go rob a bank.
Yes.
It doesn't measure up.
What I see here, though, Phyllis, is a husband who's checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we come back from the break, I think the question would be, when did you first notice him checking out of the relationship? Maybe not sexually, but checking out in terms of being responsible. And what does that mean?
Yeah.
And so we'll come back to that.
And we'll talk about the fifth chapter of Ephesians, that last segment there. It's interesting. That's where it says women should submit to their husbands. It also says husbands should be willing to die for their wives. But that whole segment, it seems like that submission thing is the only thing that stands out. So we'll talk about that.
And the end of it is that he's supposed to cherish her.
Cherish, and she's to respect him.
And how do you
respect this? Something's going on here.
Yeah. We'll look at it when we come back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Dave Stoop, and a caller named Phyllis, whose husband has said, "I want you to dominate me from the bedroom to the kitchen. Everywhere you dominate, you be the one, you're in charge." We have some thoughts about that. Milan, you want to start us off?
Well, Phyllis, when did he start checking out on you?
I don't know if I'm blind, but I never noticed him checking out. Just he was miserable at work. He came home one day and he said, "You're smarter than me. You know, you're more talented than me. You can make more money. And why don't you, you know, go get a job and I'm going to start my own business."
Oh.
That was it, pretty much.
Okay, so that's a good backstory, you see. That explains he's having a bit of a confidence crisis here.
I would totally agree.
Okay, so that's different. That's really, that sort of paints a very different picture here to me.
What picture is painted to you?
Yeah,
with that, Milan?
Tell us more.
Tell us about your painting observation.
Well, my Phyllis, if he's at a crisis where somehow what he thought was going to happen in adult life didn't happen, he's now disillusioned, he's now hurt, he's disappointed, he could be depressed, and he looks at you, and he's basically dealing with self-worth. I can't make this happen. Mm-hmm. He looks at you, and he sees a bright, talented person, and he says, "Would you just please take over?" And what I see there is a despondent person, a frightened person, a person that you know has basically hit a very flat spot in their life of a crisis.
I completely agree, and I would also agree with the being depressed part, but I don't know how to respond to it. I don't know how to help him out of it. I've tried to be encouraging.
Okay.
I've tried to not be the leader and encourage him to do certain things within the family and make him feel good about himself.
What was his father like, Phyllis?
I think his father was pretty disengaged. I think I've never met him, died before I knew him.
Okay. And mom pretty strong?
I think she was pretty much the leader.
Okay. So, you know, this is not something that he's trying to replicate, you know, what his parents had, which you don't want. And he's going way beyond that in terms of, you know, you just take complete charge. He probably, you know, I don't know, the male dominating kind of therapist. What he needs is a strong man who can be like a father figure to him as a counselor who will help him come to terms with what he missed from his own father. And it's kind of, you know, it's not your job to be his counselor because you're trying to be his wife. But I would certainly have him see somebody, you know, a pastor even, if you don't have the means of finding the strong counselor, a strong pastor who will spend some time with him. He just needs somebody because, you know, you're talking about despondent and lack of confidence. That he's going to get that from a man. He's not going to get that from you.
Mm-hmm. How old is he, Phyllis? How old is he?
I would agree. He has also said he only wants a woman counselor and he wants a female counselor. He's going to encourage me to be a leader. And, you know,
no, that's giving in.
Be a pastor because I think he doesn't want to hear what the right thing to do is.
He needs to be with.
We're both Christians.
He needs to be with a strong man, Christian counselor, a male Christian counselor.
Right.
And you don't give in to what he wants. That's part of his despondency. And he's saying, you know, I just want some woman to kind of tell me what to do. And it's just like, that's what he's telling you too. And that's the worst thing he could have, because all that will do is perpetuate what's going on.
Phyllis, how old is he? How old is your husband?
50.
Oh, midlife.
So he's midlife, and basically you have a very fear-based husband who is also paralyzed, and he's frozen. So there's a paralysis, which is based upon fear, based upon all the things I previously said. And I agree with Dave. He needs to be with a strong man. His default is find a woman to take over. Find a woman to take over. Even a counselor, even mom, even my wife.
And the way you can do that, Phyllis, is to say, well, we're going to go to somebody together. And you find a strong man, Christian man counselor, and say, we're going to go together. Then let the guy, you know, the counselor kind of take it from there. And maybe he'll.
Now, let me disagree with you just a little bit, Dave. I had a guy in my office once who got so mad at me one night in my counseling office. He says, what are you trying to do, make me her therapist? And I said, yes, I am. Because you just shouldn't have to come into my office after a while. You should be able to process your feelings together as a couple. And if you simply, and this is just a simple point, if you can say, honey, you're afraid, aren't you? Talk to me about your fears, and I'd love to hear about all the ways you're afraid. When did fear begin? When did you suddenly hit a wall? You know, Steve wrote a great new book, Walking Into Walls, and your husband hit a wall of some sort. So I would
it's called 50.
But, yeah, and it could be, again, midlife crisis and so on.
I'll counter that in that if she does that, then she's playing into the dominating role. So that would be kind of touchy.
I don't know if it's dominating or as much as it is empathetic and building intimacy.
She has to be careful how she does it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, those are just a couple of thoughts, Phyllis. But what are your thoughts so far? What are you now thinking?
I think it's going to be challenging to convince him on going to a male counselor.
That's why if you say we're going to go together, and that's who I found. That's a means to get him there. Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying she's going to dominate, she can make
manipulate
the appointment.
Yeah, she can manipulate
the appointment. Okay.
Now you guys are just going to have to quit fighting among yourselves here over what she should do. You know, Phyllis,
it's a solve it, Steve.
Phyllis, here's the bottom.
Come on, give us a bottom line.
Well, here's the bottom line: is that your sense that it isn't right is absolutely correct.
Exactly.
That you don't want to give in to it. And somehow you want to get the two of you help. A female therapist is better than no therapist, right?
Sure.
But you want to, I like the approach of saying, we need counseling. Here's the person that I found that can help us the most. It just happens to be a man. Let's give it a try. That's what I would do.
I'd start, yeah.
Because this is something where we can't really give you a three-part solution to the problem outside of both of you getting the counseling.
And then once she's made that appointment, then do what Mylon's saying. You know, talk to me about your fears.
Yeah.
And work on the empathy. But once you've made the appointment, even before you go, but once you got the appointment and his commitment.
Yeah, I think just getting him to admit he's afraid of something will be a challenge for me.
Yeah. But please don't sabotage your own success and brightness and all that just so that he'll become a leader.
Okay, so I have one more thought.
Okay.
If he has high levels of fear and he's paralyzed, he could be in a state of panic or have recurrent panic going on.
Yeah.
And when a person is in a state of panic, sometimes the right antidepressant can help pull them out of that acute state of fear and get their feet back on the ground again, so they can all of a sudden look at life again and see the horizon.
Yep. I agree with you. Let's go down to the Virgin Islands. WGOD. W God is the station. We love being on that station. And Ted is calling us from the Virgin Islands. Hello, Ted.
Hey there. How are you guys?
Great. Good. What's going on today in the Virgin Islands?
Well, the weather could be better. It's hot and humid down here.
Hmm.
And that's, of course, not a shock to you.
No, not during hurricane season.
Okay. The dog days of summer.
Well, what's going on? How can we help you, Ted? Thanks for calling us.
I've been in recovery for close to 20 years. And most of those years have included a curriculum of psychotherapy. And I've seen a few different psychotherapists. Those are all four, I would say, in the average of 4 or 5 years. And I just don't seem to be able to get well.
You are not able to get well.
Right.
Okay. What is the brokenness that the therapists tell you is going on with you?
Traumatic childhood.
Okay.
And my problem is, what gets me in most trouble is extreme anger.
Okay.
And
which you'd probably call rage?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've never done anything physical, and I've, you know, never been restrained or anything like that, but I just get very, very angry, very extreme defensiveness. Sometimes I feel as though people are doing things to me, and they're just being people, and I have an emotional reaction.
What was your dad like, Ted?
He was a violent man, very educated, very smart. You know, he was an engineer, and he did a number on his kids. I'm the youngest of three.
It's too bad.
You get the brunt of it.
What's that?
It's too bad.
Yeah, you probably got the brunt of it, being the youngest.
Right. I've always been called a scapegoat by therapists. And, you know, I read a book by a famous psychiatrist. It was called He was a Christian himself.
Say it again. Say it again.
People of the Lie.
Oh, yeah, sure. Peck. Yeah. Scott Peck.
M. Scott Peck.
Yeah. And when I read the book, I felt as though he was true case study describing my father. Now,
sure.
I'm not a diagnostician, but I could see similarities.
Has a therapist ever given you a diagnosis or a label or something like that to describe who you are?
Well, I've had a number of different diagnoses, but I think the closest that comes to me, because I've read a couple of books on it, I'm like, this is me, is borderline personality disorder.
Okay. All right. So the question for us would be?
Like I said, I've been through rigorous curriculums of psychotherapy, and things just seem to got worse. And, you know, I feel like I'm at a dead end. I don't know what to do at this point. I'm scared.
Okay.
I want it well, and I'm willing to do the work. I just don't know what to do.
Okay, I got a question for you. While you were having this psychotherapy, did you have a best buddy that was your friend as you walked through the psychotherapy?
Man.
Not really.
No. Because I would say, I would say there's your, you know, the psychotherapy is the class and the lab work to go with it. My daughter's in college. That's why I think this way. The lab is having a close friend to process this.
Male friend.
Process it. Do it. Live it out. Get feedback, get encouragement, get confrontation, all those things. I think you're going to have to supplement what you're doing in recovery and psychotherapy with an intimate relationship with another male, healthy male.
Yeah, I want to underscore that for you, Ted. You need a couple men. You need get into a group with men because this is a father issue. And, you know, you describe the kind of a father that is very clearly at the root of what you're going through.
Yeah.
But the psychotherapy only can go so far. You've got to have men in your life that take his place and model for you what it is to be a man.
Yeah.
And then I want to send my book, Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves, because the way you deal with your father is to grieve over what he never was that he should have been and all the things that he was that he should not have been. And then ultimately, for your benefit only, you release him and forgive him. And if you go through a healing process like that and you've got men in your life, now you've got the curriculum,
yeah.
I think.
I think getting that little support group together, going to your pastor, saying, hey, help me. I need to get a couple of guys together and have a little support group. Maybe ask the pastor, could you help us with it for to get it launched even? That could make all the difference in the world. I mean, it's not going to be a lot of fun for you, but over time it will be, it could become like the most important thing in your life.
So I go through my church then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
You look for good models there of men who know how to be good men.
Ted?
Yeah.
I think you also have to address what it means to be well. This side of heaven, none of us are ever fully well. So that's an expectation you have to work with. Number two, you will be triggered by relationships. If you're not involved in intimate relationships, it will sort of die down. And then when you get back together in an intense relationship, it can get re-triggered. But my last question would be, how much grief work have you done to grieve, as Dave was saying, and really cry and really grieve loss? Have you done any grief work?
I have done boatloads of emotive experiential therapy.
Okay.
Okay. All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be back right after this.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Further comment in relation to our call with Ted, I think it's great that he's done this kind of work.
Right.
I think we got him on the right track, though.
Well, he's done a lot of therapy, but where the next round of work will occur, phase two, if you will,
yeah,
as opposed to being well.
Right.
Every time Ted enters into a relationship with somebody, he's going to struggle with the internal brakes and accelerator.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, the ability to regulate his feelings. He said he feels like people pick on him or that they're singling him out.
Yeah.
He feels like a target. And that ultra sensitivity revolves around people having differences of opinion, disagreeing with,
right,
and they all of a sudden have a high shame factor, and they embarrass easily, and they get enraged that somehow you're ridiculing them, and they misinterpret difference. And so one of the things then that he will need to do is every time he enters into a new relationship, your group that you're talking about at church, a therapist or people that are male and et cetera, is he'll have to struggle with regulating and saying, okay, it's not as bad as I think it is, and it's not as good as I think it is.
Yeah,
and so he's going to have to learn to pull himself in and work on regulation at this point.
All right.
Yeah. I was going to offer, you know, to come out there and do an intensive. And
all three of us could go and we could do that intensive.
Virgin Islands.
That would be good.
St. Thomas
the radio,
or St. John.
Maybe the radio station will bring us.
I'm going to send him walking into walls, and I hope it just...
And forgiving our parents for
giving ourselves. And forgiving our parents for giving ourselves. Let's go to Earl from Concord, North Carolina. He listens on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hello, Earl.
Hey, hi, Steve. How you doing?
Good.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I'm a cancer patient.
You're a cancer patient, okay.
Yes, I'm currently taking chemotherapy every other week.
Chemotherapy every other week, all right.
Right, and my issue is making love, being able to perform with my wife.
Okay, what's the issue?
I'd like to know if it is, and if I use, like, supplements to help my performance.
Absolutely not. No, wait. Let's get the inside of Dave and Mylon on this. You want to know if it's okay to take medication to allow you to perform as a man with your wife sexually? Is that right?
Exactly, because I'm a Christian. I wasn't sure if I should wait for God or if I should sort of help myself.
Earl, are you taking medication for the cancer? Okay, so why would that be any different?
Well, I wasn't sure. I want to make sure I'm doing anything right by God, you know?
No.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think we as Christians need to do is to see that God uses medication. That's one of his ways of working. He gives wisdom and knowledge to people to create the stuff. And sometimes, like Viagra, was discovered by accident.
An accident.
No, that wasn't what Viagra was created to do. And then they found that it enabled a man to have an erection, and that they just switched it to whatever. To that, you know, it was related to blood pressure to begin with. So there's no problem. I agree completely with Steve on that.
I sure don't think there's a problem with that. And I would just say this, you know, when Jesus walked the face of the earth, he didn't just zap people. Oftentimes he would use an external agent for the process of healing. He would put mud on their eyes.
He spit on this guy's eyes help him see, this blind man.
So I'm just saying that it isn't always just God healing directly. Sometimes there's an indirect external agent that is used. It's not exactly the same, but I do think there's a principle there.
And if God heals through medication, I'd say, thank you, God, for this medication, because you made it possible.
Right.
Right. Now, if I do this without telling my wife, I mean, I won't tell her, so it's not a problem, right? That should not be an issue, no?
Shouldn't be an issue.
I don't think so. Mylon, you have some thoughts?
Well, I think it's important that you get this answer clear in your head, and that sexual relationship is very important in our lives. But I would also say sometimes people use sex as a way to medicate the pain. And so I would want to make sure that you're also coming to your wife with your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your expectations, your worries, so that you have a full orbed relationship with your wife. And that would be my only caution or question.
Okay, very good. I'm really glad you called and asked that. I think it's something a lot of people want to know about.
And also, while I have you on the phone, another quick question. I'm sure that oral sex is a sin, correct? Oral gratification, that's a sin also, no?
You're asking if oral sex is a sin. I don't see anything in
Scripture. Nothing in Scripture. I think anything, as long as both people are comfortable, there's nothing in the Bible that says that you can't do that.
Yeah.
As long as both husband and wife are comfortable. Whatever you do in the bedroom.
Right.
Is okay.
There is a box of acceptable behaviors to one person. There's a box of acceptable behaviors to another. And the only thing that's acceptable is where those two boxes intersect and overlap. That's what you want to focus on. And I know many people will disagree with that. I had a seminary professor who absolutely disagreed with that. And
that was a personal decision. It wasn't a biblical decision.
That's right. It was a personal opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything out of Scripture. Mylon, do you see anything in Scripture related to that?
No, I remember a person saying one time, they said, you know, well, it that's not what it was intended for. So to use something that for that which it's not intended is wrong. And I said, well, then I shouldn't wear glasses because my nose and my ears weren't intended to support spectacles.
Yeah, how degrading that is
that's
to use
so
your
degrading.
Nose just
what
to hold
my
up
nose
glasses?
And
like
ears.
Thumbing your nose at God.
I know, like it's, you know, so.
Literally thumbing your nose.
Yes.
All right. I hope we're helpful there. We'll take a break. We'll come back right after this. We'll go to Pam's phone call.
I didn't say thumbing your ear.
Because
he brought his ears in too. So.
Right. Pam, you hold on. We'll go to you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE for help, or 1-800-639-5433. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to, before we go to Pam, I want to go and talk with one of our therapists, one of our network therapists, and that's Dee Lundgren. Hi, Dee. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
How are things going?
Pretty good. We're sweltering here in Philadelphia, but pretty good.
Hey, how did it go at the New Life Weekend when we were in Philly? What did you think?
Actually, Steve, I wasn't at that one, so I'm not sure.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you had that thing going. I don't know why you weren't. But you've done them before.
It was too hot for
always
you to go.
What happened,
you're
but,
always on those weekends.
You know,
yeah,
I understand.
But you've done them before.
Right. And I love them.
And now you're running a Healing is a Choice group, a small group, right?
Right.
How's that going? Tell us about that.
Well, actually, I finished. In January, in a period of about 1 week, I had three clients say, Dee, you need to start a small group. Mm. And so, I contacted Ryan from New Life, and I asked him, what should I start with? Mm-hmm. And he said, the healing is a choice. And because I really needed something that was easy to kind of get into. And so, I had a few people in mind, and then before I knew it, I had about 30 people that wanted to be in the group.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I had two groups.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
That's really neat. What was the result of them going through that material?
Did they make the choice to heal?
They did make the choice to heal. And, I really encouraged that everyone would come every week and they'd make a commitment to it. And just the openness that I saw in people, and really a lot of good connection, a lot of safety. People just remarked that they had never been in a group like that before.
Well,
where people could be that open, that honest, and talking about real life.
We did it at our church, and the same thing happened. And I know it's kind of self-promoting, but I really believe it changes the personality of a church if all the churches, all their small groups will go through it. But it really does help people who want to be in a small group like that to be open so that they can connect in a deeper and richer way. Well, Dee, thank you, and we'll see you at the next New Life Weekend, okay?
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
God bless you there. All right. Well, I thought since she was from Philadelphia that... But
she's done so many of them, and we've known her.
Well, if you want to be part of a group, want to start a group, start with Healing as a Choice. It's simple. And then you can get into the really deep stuff with Mylon's and Dave's material. But if you want a kind of a superficial... Now, if you want something that will open up a group and then they'll be ready for additional material, Healing is a Choice really does that.
Oh, come on, Steve. It's a beautiful curriculum. I think it's one of the best curriculums you've ever written.
Really, go on, Mylon. Really, go
really
on.
I'll go ahead. How much time do I have before the commercial?
Yeah.
This is the commercial.
Now, listen, seriously. It is a great curriculum, and you know it's maybe simple, but it is not easy to ask the question, do I want to be healed?
Right.
Do I want to take this thing in my life that's paralyzing me or something that's had a grip for many years and or to grow? That's never easy.
And you know the big one is right up front. Will I make a choice to connect to heal?
Well,
that's huge.
The power of groups to hear other people in the same predicament is what Dee is saying, and it's a phenomenal thing to experience, the power of groups.
So just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Ryan, or 1-800-639-5433, 1-800-639-5433. Let's talk with Pam from Louisville, Kentucky. WFIA is the station. Hello, Pam.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Dave. Hi, Mylon.
Thank you for greeting us, Pam.
Yes. How's it going?
Well, it's going to be going better. I know that.
Okay. So what happened?
I just want to say that I've learned so much from you guys, and I'm on my road to recovery. So, but I'm still dealing with a couple of issues.
Okay.
And one of them is with my husband that still is not being upfront with his sneaky little pornography life.
Okay. And did he go to Every Man's Battle?
No. We have your books, Steve, and we did start making a little leeway there. But as I've learned in the past, just reading a book and saying, I read it and I'm forgiven. And,
no.
You know, you need to forgive me now. And, you need to stop. Just stop and let me. You just got to trust me. Well, since then, you know, we've even gone to counseling, and it got better for a little bit, and then he just kind of went back into his own little shell, and he blames me for everything, and also the other issue too is that he's placed my daughter as his confidant, even been doing this since she was 10 years old.
How old is she?
She's 18 now. She's 18 now. She's got a toxic relationship.
That's very, very sad. Now, here's the thing. That book has helped millions of people walk away from pornography. But you can't just read a book and walk away from it.
Right.
You have to decide, okay, so now I need to do what makes it right for my wife. And if you realize the devastation of pornography, making it right with your wife might mean, hey, okay, I'll go to that workshop or we'll go to that weekend together, whatever it is.
Right.
But just his attitude toward you of, hey, you must forgive me now, there's an indication that forgiveness may not be right around the corner.
Why do you forgive something that's ongoing?
Yeah.
It has to stop before it can be
forgiven. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I thought, well, I'll back off, but, you know, I said, God, I don't want to be a pushy little nasty wife. And
Pam,
you know.
You can't just back off because it is.
I know,
it is a powerful addiction. And
I know.
And our culture makes light of it. And it makes light of it because it doesn't know what to do with it. We've got, you know, God has the answer to it. And it's like him having an affair.
Right. Well, that probably would have been the next step because it was getting, you know. And he works with women and they pat him on the back. You know, I know he talks about me. His marriage is horrible. And, you know.
Okay, so here you
person.
Go. Here you go. Once again, it's the connection thing. You guys need to get help for the connection. Mylon, what are your thoughts here?
Well, Pam, what this whole story is telling me is that I'm going to take a guess that if your husband gets quiet or distances himself from you, you get very anxious.
And I
then,
do.
And then you over-pursue him or overwhelm him with trying to get his attentiveness back, and then he then pulls away.
You're sure right about that.
Okay.
But I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, but all I'm saying is that, again, your daughter's 18. He's been doing this since she was 10. So we're talking about something that's been ongoing for a long time. So we have two things going on.
Right.
We have a little cycle. It's a vicious cycle between you and your husband as a pursuer-avoider or pursuer-distancer, which there's thousands of pages of research written on that subject. But if you can then say, as Dave and Steve said, this is unacceptable. However, I understand in our marriage dynamic that I overwhelm you at times. And, oh, by the way, you underwhelm me. So let's go to marriage work and work on seeing if I can drop down a few notches and if you can rise up a few notches into a zone where we can begin to make contact and have a higher quality relationship.
Yeah.
Well, that's what was happening. And, you know, we did make leeway because the counselor centered in on that. And he told him, he said, you've got it. When you get angry, you need to. He says, you probably, when you get angry, you spew, and then your wife is more verbal because she's, you know, that she's just talkative. She wants you to.
Well, he gets angry when he gets backed into a corner. That's what I probably.
And he definitely is.
And you back him into the corner because you're anxious and scared, so you over-pursue him. So I think what you can do is you can simply say, let's work on our marriage and where we understand this dynamic. And that's where I do my work, okay? If he then, you know, pornography continues to be an issue, instead of hounding him, I just simply say, well, perhaps we need to get a separation until you take this more seriously.
Okay. Well, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to send you How We Love.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to send
you
How We Love to help with that connection where you will read, and I think you'll understand where both of you are in this. I think it'll really help you.
But when you go to counseling, you don't hide the pornography issue.
Well, I did, and I brought it up. And he, the counselor was, I think he, what happened was we got cut short from it. We stopped going because he had to work some different hours, and so it was just cut off. Although, it did help us. But now, it's to the point where, hey, I'm not going to do anything about it. And he says, and I'm blaming you for all of it. So that's sad.
Very sad.
Mm-hmm. It's sad for my daughter as well.
But it's classic. It's very classic. I just have to tell you how common your scenario is, and I'm not suggesting it's good. I'm just saying it's common.
I know.
You need to think of coming to the women in the battle.
Oh, I want to so desperately. I'm getting ready to start a new job, and I'm going to give to you guys when I do. So.
Well, I really hope that you can save a little money and come to Women in the Battle in September. Some of you listening, it's lose it for life for you. You really do need to lose that, whatever it is that's causing that weight to stay on. November 3rd through the 6th is the Lose It for Life weekend. We'll be talking about the Healthy 100s. It's a new eating plan. I think you'll like it. We'll be back.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Our final caller this segment, but if you're on the line, please hold on. We've got another program after this one. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. JJ from Annapolis, Maryland, WAVA. Hello, JJ.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What's going on?
Oh, same old thing, different day, and I just want to say thanks for taking a call, and I think you guys have one of the best ministries on radio. So I just
thank you.
Well, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, this is my question. It's a question about Spark and Zing.
Okay, Spark and Zing.
Yeah, I'm a single guy, and I've read books like How to Get a Date Worth Keeping and Date or Soulmate by Neil Clark Warren is the other one. And, and one of the things that I, you know, realize is that, you know, different women that I meet, you know, sometimes I feel more zing or more spark with one than another. And I guess I'm wondering, how important is that spark or zing in the relationship? And, you know, I think I've kind of heard on the show is that as a relationship progresses, you want that kind of real deep love to grow. But I'm just wondering, does that zing fade? Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to figure out how much like this spark or zing thing should affect my
okay.
Hey, if you put spark and zing on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being, you know, igniting a forest fire and 1 being kind of nothing, what the research says is you want a spark or zing that's somewhere around 4, 5, or 6. And the reason is that if you're up in the 8, 9, 10, it means your issues are in collision course, and that's and the sparks are flying. And wow, when you get married, there's going to be some major things that you got to deal with. And if you're down in the 1 or 2, although I've seen some couples who have, you know, from eHarmony, who were down at like a 2, and they were worried about it, but they had a great relationship. So the purpose of the sparks and zing are to bring people together. And it's not to keep you together, it's to bring you together and overcome the fear of being together. And once you're together, then eventually you got to start doing the work of a relationship to build that deep, lasting love. And the behaviors of love are the way to do that from 1 Corinthians 13, those behaviors.
I created some zing this morning, though, so you can still create it.
You still have zing here and there, but yeah. It's not what maintains the relationship.
But there's a picture of my wife and I dancing early on in our relationship, and that time meant a lot to my wife and me, and so I took a picture of the picture and I sent it to her.
Oh wow.
And she swooned. Well, that's another word for zing.
Yes.
So when I come home tonight, it'll be a good reunion.
Well, I've been married a long time.
I've seen
and
you zing.
We still have zing at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just not all the time, but we've done the other work to build the other parts of the relationship.
You know, JJ, if the word soulmate were a clay pigeon and I had a shotgun, I'd throw the clay pigeon up in the air and I'd shoot the clay pigeon with the shotgun, because soulmate is a very misleading concept.
It sure is.
Because, you know, you think if I just find this right person, that we'll have this magical thing that will require no work, like Dave, you're saying. And so
that's the myth of our culture today.
It is. I really dislike the concept of soulmate. And the other thing is pertaining to this, is that we mistake intensity for intimacy.
Yes.
And that's what zip and zing is. And and the people that have highly intense relationships, they always crash at another time when reality sets in, which is what Dave is saying with his numbering system.
Well, just look at what happens to the Hollywood couples. You know, the zing dies and they separate.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. So there it is. We believe in zing, but it's not the whole thing. You know what I think? I think the word soulmate was soulmate. The phrase soulmate was actually a very accurate description of the goal. when you spelled it S-O-L-E. But somebody thought that was spelled S-O-U-L, and it, you know, there's some people that would say, I got that, but man.
Now, Kay and I, at this point, after 39 years of a lot of really hard work, I would say she is my soul mate.
Yeah.
That is, she knows my soul very well, and I know her soul very well, and in my marriage, it is well with my soul, you see.
Yeah.
So, but that took work.
Years.
It's not years of work, and it was just not the intensity. And she's my best friend.
It starts out S-O-L-E, and if you do the work, it becomes S-O-L-E.
Now, let me give you another phrase,
Steve,
for soulmate.
You talk about intoxication of falling in love and all the chemicals that go wild inside of us.
Here, under that intoxication, a soulmate is a person that tells you everything you want to hear.
Yeah.
You go, oh, wow.
And they read your mind.
Yeah.
That means, boy, our issues are going to clash.
No,
like
my
crazy.
Goodness. That is why a lot of relationships, that high school sweetheart relationships, actually work out to be pretty good good relationships, because you know maybe they've known each other, good, the bad, the ugly, as friends.
You got a good foundation. But it doesn't automatically mean anything.
However, we're not saying go back and find out high school sweetheart
on
Facebook
all the time. Please
don't do
that. Stop it right now.
There's churches now that are telling people, their staff, get off of Facebook, because it's the worst thing can happen to your marriage sometimes.
Really
big temptations there.
Dangerous place.
All right. I want to talk to you about Club New Life just for a moment here before Mylon shares some scripture with us. But one of the benefits of Club New Life is that we send you a Life Recovery Bible. Mylon's going to share a verse out of the Life Recovery Bible right after this. We send you resources every other month. Monthly, I send you a CD, or you can download it. It's just for Club New Life members. It provides you with ministry updates, calls from our program, a teaching from someone on the team, and there are events we talk about. You get discounts, all sorts of things, and it supports us from a foundational level.
There's all these benefits that you get, and the benefit, and we get the benefit of your continued support. But it's like becoming part of the family.
Right.
New Life is a family, and you know, we're all members of this, and
it's wonderful.
It's an incredible deal. It's like you become an insider. So I can't urge people enough to join New Life. In fact, you need a call right now and say, I want to join New Life, and you make a commitment of $1 a day is a foundational level. You can do more than that, and boy, it makes a world of difference for us.
And here's the thing. It's about $1 a day. Sometimes, if you listen to the program, we'll give $1.50 worth of advice. So it can really be a bargain.
Well, or you
call us.
But sometimes you get stuff in the mail from us that you think is going to give you priceless information.
Whether you need help or you can help us through Club New Life, the number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE or 1-800-639-5433. It is also the number where you can get Walking Into Walls. And when you support this ministry, our gift to you this month is Walking Into Walls. Mylon, share with us some scripture from God's Word there.
Well, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about investing into the Thessalonian Christians. He says, like a mother would in a nursing or a sensitive way, and like a father would in a more structured way. And he says, because of this investment, you became very dear to us. And the same thing is true in our marriages. You know, when we invest in the nurturing as well as structured ways into a relationship, that's what real love is. People become dear as we invest into each other's lives. And I love that verse because he talks about him being both strong and sensitive and nurturing. And the outcome is bonding.
Right. Well, that's what we all really do need. We need to be bonded to some people. We need some attachment and connection and intimacy that just is unquestionable. It's there and it's solid. It's amazing what that does to fear and security. We're glad that you're with us. Help us if you can. I know you can help us by praying for us. But if you can help, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. Or go to the website, newlife.com. Thanks to Dave and Mylon and all of you. God bless you. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. See you then.
Thanks for listening. We hope that this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.